Good afternoon and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Ashwini.
We get to broadcast from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
I know. It's so fun to say good afternoon, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And so we had a busy weekend. On Friday, our exercise was completing the following sentences from Thursday. Thursday was one should, dot, dot, dot. Friday was I should, dot, dot, dot. Saturday was people should, dot, dot, dot. And Sunday, you should, dot, 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 with a recording and listening invitation around every one of those.
Yes, and I think an invitation also to not just stop at one, kind of like potato chips, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one should do many, many things, right? Not just
mm-hmm.
one thing. So, yeah. All right.
All right, here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello, it's Colin here.
Hello, Colin.
Hi. Yeah, so I was looking really at the you should one, and I'm not sure it's something that I would say directly to another person very often, you should. It's quite sort of strong, isn't it?
It's kind of rude, isn't it?
Okay, yeah, it's rude, yeah. Unless it was sort of in a sort of a positive way, like I say, oh, you should go for lunch at such and such, you'd love it, or, you know, you should try that recipe, it's really good. And then, of course, there's all what's going on in the head. There's lots of you shoulds there going on, but it's not actually spoken. So, and I was just remembering a while ago, I can remember saying to people, my doctor said, you should lose weight. Isn't that terrible? I don't need to lose weight. And I'm sure she never said you should lose weight. She would have said it in a different way, like it might be a good idea to lose some weight, but I'm sure she never would have said that directly to me. But in my head, I took it as you should. And
There's so much in that, Colin. First of all, when you said that, I thought the way we're conditioned is I would never serve you poison. I would just never do that. But I'll take poison every day.
Yeah.
Right? And that's so I would never speak to you that way, because that would be rude and awful and terrible. But I will let those voices speak to me all day long like that. Right?
Yes.
And then the other one that I think is so huge is the way you described that getting turned around, so that what somebody said to me goes from how they probably said it to the way conditioning says it to me.
Yes.
And you were aware of it. Most of the time it happens and we don't notice it.
Yes, that's right. I mean, I never thought of it until we did this exercise. And I've been carrying that round in my head, you should mm-hmm. lose, you know, for probably a couple of years now. And I'd never caught on to it. It must be going on all over the place that that's what I'm carrying around with me, all this you should.
Yes, yes. The projection, right? So
yeah.
they think I should. What he means is I should, right? So conditioning
is
constantly interpreting what everyone else is saying and doing to fit its story, so that there isn't inconsistency. And I just love the way you laid it out, that well, of course we'll never know what she said, right? But however long it took conditioning to do that, it made that the same message it gives you. So it would have had that nasty tone to it, that judgmental, cruel,
And so that there must be countless times where people are saying things which are kind and helpful and supportive, and I kind of don't get to see it because I'm listening to the you should.
Yeah. And one of the places that, Colin, that I think people get to see it with some regularity is how we are conditioned to receive compliments. Oh, he's just saying that. Oh, she didn't say that. Oh, this old thing. No. Yeah. Oh, yes, it's just something I threw together. Really, it's nothing.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, a lot to see. Because, you know, at first sight, I thought, oh, no, what can I say about this? But there was really a lot about that. Yeah.
Which is another one, right? So conditioned mind would say, oh, well, yeah, I don't have much going about that. And then here it comes, right? Oh, it's just only how my whole life is laid out. Yeah,
absolutely, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, no, that was great. And just before I go, I just wanted to say that thank you for all the support for the people that are on these calls every day. That when I was at the monastery and I'm in the meditation hall and people are calling in, and honestly, I haven't got a clue where they're calling from. I don't know where these places are. And it was just so supportive. It was like people were talking about stuff. Like, oh, yeah, I'm looking at that. I'm at the monastery and I'm looking at that. And there's somebody, I don't know where, looking at that. And it was really helpful and supportive. So I really appreciate that support from Sangha. I wanted to thank everyone for that. That was really special. So thank you.
Yes, because otherwise out there, as we're fond of saying at the end of that dirt road, it could feel a little like, you know, you're one of a very small group of people doing this. But with something like this, we realize, well, Sangha is everywhere, all over the world, and people are doing what we're doing. It's just, it's really kind of brings tears to the eyes.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just so encouraging and helpful. Mm-hmm. So I'm really grateful for that. So thanks to everybody who makes this happen every day. So thank you.
And Colin, thank you for being at the monastery and for doing that part of keeping Sangha vibrant. Because if we didn't have people going there and doing that, we wouldn't have the mothership. And so everybody's wherever they are, right, doing, we're all doing our part. So thank you.
Yeah, well, I'm hugely grateful, really grateful. So thank you so much.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right.
Thanks, Colin. The insight that dropped in during that conversation, Sherry, is really we're so aware of the voices talking to us, right? You should. But we're not aware that we're identified with what receives the you should. And that's what we project. That to recognize that the identification includes, it's truly a conversation. What's talking and what's being talked to are still aspects of the same system. But it's because we're identified with what's receiving you should that when someone says something kind, we automatically receive it as you should.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're identified with it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's startling to recognize that if I'm here and present, I might be able to receive kindness as kindness.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but as long as I'm identified with what separates me, then I will receive everything through that lens. Self-hate.
Yes, and as we were talking about this just a little while ago in the retreat, the missing person in that is the authentic human being who hears that criticism and judgment.
Yes.
It's painful. You know, it's painful to be told that your doctor said in this unkind, judgmental way that there's something wrong with your body and you should do something about it. And that human being is usually left completely out of this equation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a fascinating, it's just fascinating when we bring attention to where the attention is. It's so informative of our experience.
Yes. Yeah. Mm.
Mm-hmm. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
They're unmuting.
Well, I'm trying to get them to be unmuted, which is not working on my computer for some reason. Hang on. Sherry, if you will hang on for a second, I'm going to have to, for some reason, I'm not able to, I can see the queue, but not unmute the queue. So,
okay,
one second here.
Mm-hmm.
Yay, I'm back.
You just had to threaten it a little.
Yes, exactly. All right. Here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Greta. Good morning.
Greta, we're so happy you're here.
What an adventure.
Oh, I'm telling you, there's just never a dull moment, as they say. What are you doing?
No,
seeing?
I know. Well, it's interesting. It was before we all got lost in the technology, I was, and I'm kind of blanking on what all the great things Ashwini was saying, but what I was seeing was, I have this visualization of these giant, you know, shoulds, the words just coming at me constantly. And then, you know, just like it's everywhere. You know, whether I should, they should, he should, we should, whatever, it really is, you know, a major component of the conversation. And then the scariest part, well, there's kind of a double part, when it comes out of my mouth and I tell other people what they should do, and then how I'm wrong for shoulding on somebody else, then, you know, this conditioning and self-hate just comes right back around. So it's a big thing to uncover and shine a light on.
Yes, because I don't know at what point in the whole personal growth, human potential movement, we got it that should was not a good thing, right? And so for years, people didn't use the word. But everybody just kept right on with the same attitude and behaviors, right? Because it's just... It's the bedrock of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. It sets up the alternate reality in which ego operates. Right? It's this way, but it should be that way. You're doing that, but you should. Okay?
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Should, ego's in big trouble.
Right. When you lay it out like that, and you can just see, I mean, I just see that conditioning as a very small child, that's when it starts, what you should and shouldn't do. Don't put your hand on the stove. Don't do that. And as you say, whether we use the word or not, it's the context for everything that happens.
For everything. And that it's the, it's kind of the belief system around that reality, in quotes, of possibilities, alternate possibilities that are the right thing as compared to what we've got here in this reality that are the wrong things.
Right, yeah. So that that alternate reality that we never seem to get to meet that standard of what the right person does. But the other thing that I saw with before we got to shoulds, when I can't remember what we were looking at, but is when we get brought up kind of in this context, then we believe that we're the right people doing the right thing and those people out there are the wrong people doing the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it just sets up this separation and this sort of smugness that we know the right thing to do and, you know, you do what your family says and how your family says to be and everybody else is wrong. I mean, it really creates this such a huge separation and an unkindness about the whole world, really, because they are really wrong and you're really right.
Yes, well, and when you put it like that, we can see how self-hate is has an easy job. Because if you know so clearly the right thing and you don't do it, my God, what an awful person you are. Well, you're as bad as they are.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Much fiendishness going on.
Yeah, I think so. That's why, you know, I just got this vision of all of this stuff just coming at us constantly, because if we get, unfortunately, tuned into that, and as Ashwini was saying, you know, the different aspects, who's receiving and who's saying and how that plays out, it feels like it's sort of this, you know, that we're in this constant bombardment.
Yes. Yeah. And I think we are, don't you?
Yes, I do.
So as Colin was pointing out, some of it gets stated, but the vast majority of it just all happens internally behind the scenes. So there's one person constantly being tortured, because with conditioning, the implication is that if I know what people are doing wrong, that makes me right. But then we have the next added element of, but it makes me the wrong person for judging them as being wrong. So there's just no, all exits just throw us right back into the stew pot.
Right. Well, it just inspires a whole lot of compassion.
Oh, does it? Oh, my gosh,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Greta.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Greta. I'm going to bring the next caller live, Sherry, so we can hear from more people. Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Jan in Fremont.
Hey, Jan.
Hi. I'm so happy to be here, and I love this conversation, because I'm just seeing more and more and more. What I noticed initially with the exercises is that when I went to do them, it just took me, I think this has been said, but just took me to a conditioned place. I had to turn to conditioned mind to answer, you know, we should, you should, all of it. So that was all, it was interesting to see. And what Greta just mentioned about the bombardment, that's sort of what has followed. And in a situation just yesterday, I saw the whole, I'm still experiencing the whole thing where, if I throw out a little bit of content, a neighbor of a family member took something, stole something out of their yard, and another neighbor saw it. And we we saw
they
that.
They really shouldn't
yesterday.
Have done that.
No, they really shouldn't have. I mean, that's one everyone will agree with, right? You know?
Right.
And so she comes over to ask for a favor. She's always coming over to ask this family member for a favor. And they're not so inclined to do it because of this incident. So then I find myself feeling like I need to talk to her about why the family member does it. I mean, the should didn't stop. And now the should is, boy, you really shouldn't have talked. You shouldn't have said what you said. But I know no matter what, I would be getting that, no matter what.
That's right. If you didn't say anything, you should have. If you said something, you shouldn't have. Right?
And you can't say the right thing no matter what. It doesn't matter what it is. You can't say the right thing. So, anyway, It when we talk about it, it feels like this huge weight is lifted, and yet conditioning comes, as Greta pointed out, is right there to remind and bring it all up and relive it, the whole deal.
Yes. Oh, such a great point. So you see through the whole thing, and it just swoops right back in as if you didn't just see through it, right? And because it knows that we are so heavily conditioned that if it can get you to listen to that story again, it can hook you. The odds are really good. If not this time, next time, or maybe the next time, it's fine. Sooner or later, you'll fall for it.
Yes, and I seem to be doing that in this situation over and over again, and I'm it's exhausting. I know I don't want to go there, but it's been a struggle. So it's really requiring stepping up to using all the tools, vigilance and practice, because this is one of those takeovers, you know? I mean, it doesn't matter how big or small. This one happens to be a takeover right now.
Yeah. Well, and this is where my encouragement is to reframe it as a comedy routine.
Yeah.
The comedy routine where the person just, they say something and it's funny. Okay. And, you know, it's moderately funny. And then they say it again at some point. And it's funny again. But the 15th or 16th time they say it, you know, you're just rolling around on the floor, because it just gets more and more absurd with each, you know? And so I think it might be time to see this as a comedy routine.
That's really interesting, because there have been those moments where that definitely was it, and family members were all laughing about it. I mean, the whole situation. And then, again, conditioning comes right in to go, yeah, but. Okay. Well,
you really should take this seriously. This really is big.
Really, because what will she take next time? Like, that's the issue.
Right.
Oh, gosh.
All right. Thank you, Jan.
Well, thanks for that encouragement.
Okay. Bye bye.
Go happy. Bye bye.
Go happy.
Thanks, Jan. It looks like we have time for one more caller, Sherry, despite having technology difficulties. So here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. This is Anna, back down in Palo Alto.
Well, hello, Anna.
Oh, hello.
Colin is back in Great Britain. Jan is back in Fremont, and you are back in Palo Alto. Wow, we have a lot of moving parts here. Yeah. So what are you seeing? Because you should be seeing something big here.
Sorry?
Yes?
I just missed that last bit.
Oh, I was just kidding. I said you should be seeing something big here. You know, I thought I'd try to get should into the conversation early on.
No, well, that hits the nail on the head. But really, like, seeing the whole smoke and mirrors deal, and how, like, the mirrors are set up and how the smoke's puffed out and how attention's moved around. It's like there's this constant, you know, we talk about conditioned mind as the world of opposites, and it's always like negating, and it's always the opposite. So you're going along and there's this constant thing running of, you should be the opposite of how you are, right? And
however you are
or however it is. Right, there's always this opposite. And it's like the should is like the identification with the desire to get from how it says you are to how it says you should be, this opposite place. Right? And what I saw was, is this constant, like, then there's this I who's like the middle person who's going to get from where it says it is to where it says it should be. And what I saw was, it just creates like this constant sense of struggle and efforting and doing. And I was in the meditation hall on Saturday morning just before I left, and it was like I got to see that that's not me, that I that's struggling to get from where I am to where I should be.
Yes, it's the quintessential self-improvement program, right? Small s self. And that process, as you lay it out, that's what creates the illusion that there is that I. There is that separate self who is the wrong person and needs to be fixed, changed, and improved in order to be the right person.
Yeah. And it's like, one of those amazing things where you get to see it in like the laboratory conditions of the meditation hall and then see it everywhere, right? So going along and just recognizing that certain quality of energy or that's just that struggle, somewhere to get, somewhere to be, somewhere, you know.
it comes out as not here, which is ego's whole deal, right? Because when we're here, no ego. So ego's constant pointing the finger. This is what you are. You are the wrong person. You should be different. And that whole process can't happen here. So ego is safe in its in that illusion, that imaginary world of ego. And most of the time, of course, we're going right with it, right? Oh, I am. Okay, well, what should I do? Well, what I'll do is, and we're figuring it out, and, so painful.
Yeah.
Every step of the way.
Yeah, so painful. And just with these exercises, to have all of that revealed that's just hidden in plain sight,
In everything about us, right? In what we say, how we see, what we're doing, what we're focusing on. The whole process is what we're doing all the time. We just don't recognize it for what it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very fun. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks, Anna. Sherry, I just lost the internet connection again, so I don't know if the show has gone away, but I do think I have the ability to at least announce the assignment.
Oh, okay. And then, it'll either be on a recording or it won't.
That's right. So our assignment for today is we should finish the sentence, we should ... record and listen.
We should. All right. Very good. Well, thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Treasure yourself.
Take care.
Bye-bye.